Active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.
We're approaching halfway through our training plan on Get Active with Midlands 103, and I'm nowhere near where I should be in terms of marathon training, and I can't run for the last 2 weeks, but this week I went the alternative route and spent all the time I should be on the road in the gym, on the cross trainer and on the exercise bike as well, and anything that just doesn't put pressure on this calf muscle that's been the bane of my life in recent weeks. And I'm trying to build muscle elsewhere as well, and I find when you're injured there's a huge psychological side to it that you just can't explain unless you've been through it. But if you listen back to my chat with ultramarathon runner Shane Dunphy on episode 7 of our podcast series, he gets it.
I was after doing me stretches, Peter, went out to get a bottle of water, and it was a lovely sunny day during the summer, and a runner went straight past the window, and it just, the first thing thought, that I should be there, that should be me.
You just hit the nail on the head there. It's a psychological blow when you're injured to see other people run.
Yeah, and you'll see loads of them.
I know, you see them everywhere. Yeah. To be honest, I'm really getting worried about this injury, so I'll pop into Cahaligan in Physio Central Tullamore again to see how it's coming on. But Carl reckons we have to upgrade it from a grade 1 to grade 2 calf injury, which is a little more severe and could see me off the road for about 5 or 6 weeks, which worries me a lot, because if you've only 5 weeks running, training and all going well, you get over your injury and nothing else happens, you'll get 6 weeks running before the marathon. And it doesn't really sound possible to me. But Cahill assures me, as long as I can keep up a good level of cardio, I should be able to stay relatively on track. So that's positive enough. Plus, he told me not to be worrying. He's going to do all the worrying for me. So thanks for that, Cahill. You're going to lose an awful lot of sleep.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
One of the important parts of preparing for a marathon is your nutrition. So I got in touch with Ruth Kavanagh from EduFit in Port Arlington, and one of the many things I wanted to know was, what should you consume before and after a workout?
So nutrition has such an important role in terms of getting yourself ready, both physically and mentally, for any type of workout that you do. So in terms of marathon training, there's kind of two main key points. So it's to fuel with carbohydrates, making sure that you're getting enough before, during and after to fuel the workout. And then to hydrate with your fluids, because we know that if we're sweating as we're working out, that we can easily become dehydrated. And we know that that can negatively impact our performance. So when we're dehydrated, you know, we feel increased tiredness, fatigue, it just makes everything much more difficult. So they'd be kind of the two main key points. Now, if you're doing like strength training, which is so important as well, as you're training for your marathon nutrition, mm-hmm. then of course we have to focus on protein as well.
Let's just take running for a sec, Ruth.
Yes.
So I'm getting ready, I'm going out to run 5 kilometres on the road. Should I eat before that?
It depends on the time of your run. So generally, what we like to say is, if you think about your carbohydrate stores as like a fuel tank, so our body stores can only obtain so much carbohydrates. And as soon as we start running, the main types of fuel that we use are carbohydrates and some fat, but mostly carbohydrates, particularly for longer distance running. So we need to make sure that those stores, that tank is as topped up as can be. So as we start running, that tank runs low. So particularly when we talk about marathon nutrition, we need to be thinking about topping up that carbohydrate throughout that race. So kind of high carbohydrate sources would be your things like your breads, your pastas, your rice, your noodles, your cereals, so things like cereal bars. But if we want to get specific with the timing, so what I always recommend is, say, 3 to 4 hours before the race, I'd always advise people to focus predominantly on carbohydrates. So if you take, for example, your standard plate or your bowl, if you aim for half of that to be coming from your carbohydrates, so, you know, if we're talking about breakfast, that could be 2 slices of toast, it could be a bagel, it could be porridge, it could be oat-based pancakes. And sometimes people are quite nervous before a race, and the thought of eating just turns their stomach. Mm-hmm. So a good option for that would be like an oat-based smoothie. with some yogurt in there and some fruit. But the most important thing, Peter, for yourself and anyone listening, is you have to practice in training your nutrition strategies before race day. So the number one thing is don't try anything new the week of race day, and absolutely do not touch anything new on the race day. So, you know, sometimes people might say, oh, there's gels, they're giving out free gels, they're giving out free sports drinks. Don't take them if you have to try that specific one. Yeah, because it can do more harm than good.
You have to eat as part of your training. So, you know, at a certain time, I'm going to eat this. And then 3 hours later, 2 hours later, I'm going to run this distance. And this is something you'll have to do maybe a month or two in advance. And just don't deviate away from your plan.
No, absolutely not. You have to make sure that you're fueling properly to perform your best. Mm. So, like I mentioned there, like kind of a main meal 3 to 4 hours beforehand. But particularly, say, on race day, or say when you're going out to do your long runs, sometimes people are best to take then like a carbohydrate-based snack 1 to 2 hours before. But again, it very much depends on the individual. Like some people get very, very nervous. You know, they can't stomach it. Maybe their meal 3 hours beforehand is perfect. Whereas other people know, okay, I don't know, maybe sometimes it's like a placebo effect. Okay, I've had my main meal 3 to 4 hours before. I'm going to have another high-carb snack 1 to 2 hours before. So like a cereal bar or like a honey-based wrap or like a isotonic sports drink or something like that. Sometimes while it is adding to your carbohydrate stores, it can give that kind of placebo effect that, no, you know, I fueled right, I'm going to run well, I'm going to perform well.
And what the image I'm getting in my mind is, if you're going to go for a long drive, you're going to make sure you have petrol or diesel or electricity in your car. You're going to be fueled up to the max. So is that the same for a long run, whether you're training for a long run or you're going for the actual marathon itself?
Absolutely. So like the general advice is when you look at, say, runs past 60 minutes, so like your marathon, of course, would be an example of that. So you'd have your main meal 3 to 4 hours before. You may or may not have a snack 1 to 2 hours before, but then after 60 minutes, so as I mentioned, that fuel tank is limited. So we can only store a certain amount of carbohydrates, and they get depleted after about 60 minutes of running.
Okay.
So what we need to do then is to make sure that we're consuming between 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour after the first hour. So in practical terms, they would be things like, say, 6 jellies, like Jelly Babies, and they tend to be quite popular because they're convenient. You know, they're small, they're easy to pack. It could, like 30 grams would be, say, 2 small bananas or a large banana, or it could be like a 500 ml sports drink. They would kind of be the most popular options, or say like 2 of, you know, the Med Jewel dates, the kind of bigger ones. 2 of them would give the same amount of carbohydrates in them. There's gels as well, but I always say to people, you have to test out in training. So it's a great excuse, you know, to go and, you know, maybe test out the jellies or whatever you think works best. But it definitely tests out in training, because I know some people, they can't stomach the gels, just it's too sweet.
Yeah.
It's not convenient. By the time they open the packet, you know, there can be kind of stickiness on their hands, and that kind of just irritates them for the rest of the run. So you want to think of real practical options, what suits you best.
Right. So after an hour, you should be consuming something.
Yes.
And then
after
another hour, do you need to consume another 30 grams of carbohydrates, and then another hour. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to train with as well, Ruth. Like, you can't just go into marathon day and go, right, this is what we're going to do. You have to train before that, and maybe train while you're running, like to eat, how to eat when you're running, because I presume it's a different kettle of fish altogether, is it?
Absolutely. Like, I know, like, just from my own self, the most popular options would be, say, like your Jelly Babies. But like wine gums, for example, like they can be quite chewy. So like, even though they are great, you know, they're high in carbohydrates, a lot of runners find that it's annoying. They're trying to pick stuff out of their teeth as they're trying to run. So it kind of like, you have to think real practically, you know, what's going to, you know, be easy to carry on the run and what's going to be easy to kind of consume. And so like, as I mentioned there, like a 500 ml isotonic sports drink, that's another option. You know, say if you were kind of fed up of eating the jellies or the dates or the banana or whatever it might be, you can also get that from an isotonic sports drink. And just with the sports drinks, what I would say is generally at marathons, they'll give out free different types of sports drinks. But if you've not tried that particular one, don't take it because you don't know how your gut is going to react.
Yeah.
But you can buy the isotonic sports drinks, you know, in every shop. They're out there, you know, like your Luke said, sports. But you can easily make your own at home. So, like, if we want to make a litre, it's 500 mils of water with 500 mils of, like, the squash that contains the sugar. That's what we need from the carbohydrates.
And it has to have sugar in it, does it? Like, do you know when you see these no added sugars, it has, the squash has to have sugar?
Yeah, for, if you're for marathon training, yes. Long distance running, yes. So, generally, people think, you know, performance for health and performance for... nutrition for health and nutrition for performance, they can be quite different. So, yeah, you're actually looking for the sugar option here because you're looking for that carbohydrate to keep you fueled during that exercise.
Right. And what should you eat after training? Let's say you go for your long run and you're in recovery process. What kind of food group should you be focusing on then?
Yeah, so the post-exercise nutrition very much depends on the activity that you've done. So as I mentioned, during marathon, you know, training or long distance running, your main fuel source being used there is carbohydrate. So that's going to be reflected in your post-exercise meal. So again, think of that plate analogy. So we want, again, half of that plate to be coming from, you know, rice, potatoes, pasta, breads. You want to be thinking of that. We also want to include some protein in there for repair. So things like your chicken, fish, steak, if you can stomach it, you know, whatever, like anything, eggs can be really easily digested. And then the third component would be to re-nourish. So trying to get in some fruits and vegetables there, because long distance running can, you know, weaken the immune system. So we want to kind of protect that as well. So what I'd be saying is mostly carbohydrate-based meals, but really it's going to be whatever you can stomach after. I think you deserve, you know, whatever you fancy after the meal, but
you've earned it.
exactly. And just Peter, just we haven't mentioned there the importance of hydration.
Yeah.
I think that is so important. And so the key here would be to make sure that you're hydrated before the race. So how we can tell is if you simply look at the colour of your urine. So it should be a clear to a very pale yellow colour. So you want to aim to be hydrated 2 hours before the race. After that point, like say the 2 hours before the race, you just want to be kind of sipping on water beforehand. And because you don't want to be, you know, bursting to go to the toilet like 20 minutes into the race. And then just kind of sipping on your drink throughout the race. And then afterwards trying to replace that back because, you know, we lose a lot of fluid when we're sweating. Depending on the weather, if it's really warm, we're going to be losing even more. So it's really important.
So there's no set amount, Ruth. There's no set amount of water we should take in. Just make sure you're not dehydrated going into the race and you're supping away then.
Exactly. So we all have different like fluid requirements. So the key before the race is to be hydrated. Give yourself 1 to 2 hours, you know, to kind of allow time to go to the bathroom, you know, and then just kind of be sipping. Don't be taking on large amounts of water then because, you know, you want to feel comfortable as well in your stomach when you're running. But there is some advice for during the run. Now, again, you know, it's very much individualized, but the general recommendation is to aim to drink between 100 and 150 mils every 15 to 20 minutes at a rate that's comfortable. So it's about 2 to 3 large mouthfuls kind of every 15 to 20 minutes. But it depends on each person. You know, everyone sweats differently, weather, but you absolutely do not want to be dehydrated because it does impact performance.
Just going back to post-run nutrition, Ruth, for some reason I had it in my mind that post-run should be very much about protein, about repairing your muscles. Is that more of a strength and conditioning thing than post-run?
Absolutely, yeah. So that would be kind of more after your strength and conditioning. Now, of course, your muscles are going to need some protein to repair afterwards, but the main focus is actually on your carbohydrates, but you will want protein as well in that meal, but a larger amount of carbohydrates. So, for example, like I'm trying to think, like even like your standard typical Irish dinner, like your meat, your potatoes, your veg, like it could be chicken, it could be turkey, it could be salmon, it could be a sandwich, it could be, if you're absolutely not able to eat after the run, which it can affect appetite, again, think of like your oat-based smoothie, but add in some yogurt and milk just to kind of get a bit of protein in there as well after the run.
How much protein should you consume? Because I know a lot of people tend to overdo it on the protein route, but how much realistically should you take in?
So the specific kind of recommendation for distance runners is 1.2 to 1.4 grams of protein per kg of body weight.
Okay.
Now, if we look at that in very simple terms, if the general kind of advice is if you aim for between 20 to 40 grams of protein at each main meal, you know, and then you can be snacking on it throughout the day, you're going to meet that. So like, for example, like a chicken breast contains like on average about 35 grams of protein.
Okay.
Like people think that it's very hard to meet their protein requirements when it's actually not that hard if you're eating high protein sources like, as I said, you know, your poultry, your meat, your fish, your dairy products.
And should you consume the same amount of protein, let's say, post-race or post-strength and conditioning as you would on, let's say, a rest day?
Not necessarily, no. So you're going to need more protein on your training days. And then, of course, it depends on the type of training that you do. So you're going to need more protein, say, after like a strength and conditioning session than after, say, like your marathon. That would be the advice for that.
Right. And at the moment, I have an injury and I'm thinking in my head, if I have an injury, should I consume more protein to help repair the muscle?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'd aim for is to make sure that you're consuming protein at each main meal. Now, generally, people have no problem with meeting their protein requirements at lunch and dinner because there's going to be either chicken or fish or something like that in those meals. But what we see in the general population and in performance nutrition is people find it very difficult to meet that 20 to 40 grams of protein at breakfast time. So particularly for yourself now while you're injured, I would be aiming for to kind of meet that 20 to 40 grams. I'd say it'd be actually more so towards the 30 to 40 grams, the higher end of the scale for yourself, Peter. So I'd be trying to aim for 30 to 40 grams at each main meal. So,
at each meal, right.
You know, yeah, so like that could be something simple like, say for example, like a standard egg, that has about 7 grams of protein in it. So if you had like 2 to 3 eggs, and then you had like 2 slices of toast, that also contains some protein in it as well. And then you might have a yogurt, like a high protein yogurt after that. And then, like, you know, you're going to be meeting your protein requirements quite easily at breakfast time by doing that.
I need to ask you about protein powder, because protein powder seems to be the easy way to reach your protein intake. What's the positives and negatives around that, Ruth?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. So I always see protein supplements, as the name suggests, to supplement the diet. So we'd always recommend like a food first approach when it comes to nutrition. But that can be quite difficult, say, for example, if, you know, you're not really feeling great, you know, maybe you're injured, your appetite is kind of affected. Protein supplements can be really convenient and a quick way of getting your protein intake. Like, it doesn't take that long to prepare and make. You know, you can add them to smoothies, you can add them to like a pancake recipe, and it's just a good way of making sure that you're going to get your protein in there. The negative is when people think that they need, like, they're already consuming quite a lot of dietary protein sources and they're adding more protein there from protein supplements, and that can put a lot of pressure on the kidneys. If you're consuming quite a lot of protein that's not necessarily needed. So I kind of, like, it's a very individualized approach, but there's absolutely room for them in certain situations.
What happens when you consume too much protein? I presume the protein has to go somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. So like anything, you know, if you take too much, not only is it going to put that extra bit of pressure on the kidneys, but it's going to be stored, you know, as energy. And if you think about marathon running, you know, you want to be kind of in the best shape possible. You don't necessarily want to be gaining weight, which will happen if you consume too much energy, regardless of where it's coming from.
Okay.
So you kind of, I'd always say, you know, do your best, kind of aim for for like a balanced approach when it comes to your meals and your snacks. They're kind of the key points there. But like if you're only using it, you know, maybe say if you find that lunch and dinner, there's no issues, but breakfast time, you know, you're struggling to get your protein intake up, then absolutely use the protein powder there. That's no problem at all. But yeah, you just want to be careful. You don't want to be gaining on, you know, a couple of pounds and then wondering why, you know, everything feels much heavier on race day.
Yeah. And actually, is there a magic window? We've often heard of this magic window that you need to get protein into you 20 minutes after workout or something. Is that a myth or is that real?
So it was real up until only a year or two ago. So yeah, there was this kind of idea that there was this 30-minute golden window whereby protein and carbohydrates are best consumed together within that time. But the latest research is telling us that it's actually, that window is actually much larger. So there doesn't need to be this real strong emphasis on getting those nutrients into the body. But as I always say, you know, if you can and you feel able to, absolutely, why not? You know, the sooner you get that recovery process started, you know, the better. But there doesn't need to be this big pressure to kind of have this big meal within 30 minutes.
Brilliant.
I'd kind of say maybe look at a snack, you know, give it a while to kind of everything to just chill out and then go and enjoy a nice meal afterwards.
Sounds like heaven.
I know. It makes it worthwhile.
Definitely. Ruth, I have one more question for you. How many calories do you burn when you run a marathon?
A lot. So it's going to be like very much dependent on the person, you know, the training that you're doing. Like you can't just give like a standard ballpark figure. But what the research is kind of telling us is it can be up to like 1500 plus calories in the marathon. But I generally wouldn't tend to focus too much on it, but it's a lot.
Wow, 1500, which is what you would nearly consume in a day.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, it's quite a lot. But again, it depends on everyone's, you know, like how quick you're working, you know, how fit you are. Like there is so many different factors. So just take that with a pinch of salt.
The plan is to also run the Mullingar Half Marathon on St Patrick's Day, and I've roped in a few friends in Midlands 103 to do it. So let's check in with our head of sport, David Hollywood.
Well, Peter, training's going pretty decent at the moment, and that's mainly because I got the fear of God into me. I am running in the National Masters Cross Country Championships this weekend. So the long runs have been done pretty religiously over the course of the last couple of weeks, managed to get out and put together about 20 odd kilometres on Sunday there, and ran into a thorn bush as well for my troubles. But competing against the over 35s in the National Cross Country Championships this weekend. I'll let you know how I get on. Hope that calf is on the mend.
The National Masters. Well done, David Hollywood. Best of luck on Sunday. Can't wait to hear how you get on. Just mind them old thorn bushes and you'll be fine. Now let's check in with Midlands 103's Morris Fitzgerald.
I'm about halfway through the training plan I set up for myself some weeks ago, trying to maintain the balance of a speed session, tempo run, long slow run, plus one or two recovery runs each week, while still keeping injury free, of course. Look, onwards and upwards. We're getting there. Won't feel it now, so check in again soon.
Hi Peter, Ronan Berry here, keeping the training going as well. Predominantly gym work, if I must admit. But I threw the runners on last weekend just to try and stretch the legs a little bit. So I did a nice little 5K, well under 25 minutes, so happy out with that. Of course, my training was always just to show a bit of solidarity. I wasn't really training with a particular event in mind, but by God, that has changed because my darling wife has just signed me up for an adventure race in Donegal in June. It involves cycling, kayaking and running. And it's Donegal. It ain't exactly the flat Midlands we're used to. It's Donegal. I don't know what I'm up to. Anyway, there's a target.
Oh, well done, Ronan. Fair play to you. Welcome to our world. It's all downhill from here. And uphill and downhill and uphill and downhill. In the hills of Donegal. Now let's check in with Midlands Today's Will Faulkner.
Hey Peter. So Cahal Egan, the physio, tells me I have gluteal tendinopathy, so I need to work on the muscles in the rear end. Lots of stretching, lots of lunging, doing the pelvic thrusts with the kettlebells. I'll have an arse like a Kardashian by the time this is over. But the good news is, I'm up to 14 kilometres in the last few days. Next run, aiming for 16K. So fingers crossed we'll get there eventually.
An arse like a Kardashian. Thanks for that, Will. As you know, we're doing this for a good cause. We're raising as much as we can for Barrystown Children's Charity. And we're asking you to please give what you can by clicking on Midlands103.com, and you'll find Get Active with Midlands103. Click on that. It'll take you to our I Donate page, or you'll find a post pinned to the top of our Facebook page, and that'll take you directly to our I Donate page either. You can check out the podcast for the full episode, which can be found in the podcast section on Midlands103.com or wherever you get your podcast. You can just search Get Active with Midlands 103.
Get Active with Midlands 103, powered by HearMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Hear when you need us. HearMed.ie.